Good morning, everybody. So I'm very pleased to present this joint work with Si Mohamed Azizbahi, Abdeljali Aissa Elbe, and myself. We are all from Institut Telecom, as a previous speaker, but we are located in Brittany, at Telecom Bretagne. So the topic is blind source separation, but in the underdetermined case. And something that I want to emphasize from the onset of the presentation is the fact that the method crucially relies on a sparseness model that was introduced several years ago. I will come back to this sparseness model. I will comment it further because of its relevance in many signal processing applications beyond the present one. So, the problem states as follows. We consider the instantaneous mixing case where we have a known number of unknown sources that are mixed through matrix A. For the sake of shortening the presentation, I suppose here that that matrix A is known, but in the paper, the case where the matrix A is unknown is discussed. The resulting mixtures are co-opted by independent and additive white Gaussian noise, and we have a set of sensors. The number of sensors is assumed to be less, strictly less than the number of sources. Therefore, the estimation of the sources on the basis of the observations is an ill-posed problem that we tackle by assuming that the sources have sparse time frequency representations. And that's in continuation of several papers that are given here. So the sparseness model. So consider a spectrogram of one mixture, any mixture, and you note that many coefficients are small, and in presence of noise, these small signal components are hidden by noise, and only remain visible the signal components that are big enough. And you can reasonably consider that the proportion of these large signal components remains less than or equal to 1/2. So such remarks have already been made by several authors, especially in speech audio coding. And so we can formalize these remarks by using results, hypothesis published in 2002 in a paper dedicated to binary hypothesis testing. But here, the hypothesis used in this paper can read as follows for the problem. So we assume that the signal components are either present or absent in the transform domain. Here we consider the Fourier domain. In some other papers, we have considered the wavelet domain, of course. We assume that the probability of presence of a signal component is less than or equal to 1/2. The second hypothesis is that when present, the signal components are relatively big in the sense that the amplitude remains above some minimum amplitude rho. So at this stage, I must make two remarks. First, these hypotheses can be regarded as constraints that actually bound our lack of prior knowledge on the signal distributions. That's very important because in this paper, but in also in other papers based on such framework, we assume that the signal distribution is fully unknown. These hypotheses, we say that they form the weak sparseness model that was suggested by one of my former PhD students. And we use this terminology now in order to make this distinction between the notion of sparsity used, for instance, in compressed sensing. Because in compressed sensing, you assume that you have a sequence of coefficients that represent your signals, but most of these coefficients are small or zero, and only a few of these coefficients are actually non-zero or large. Here, we do not restrict our attention to the proportion of signal components that are small, but we, to the contrary, we propose a framework where the proportion of signal components can be close to 1/2 in order to stick to the physics as described before. So, Now I'm going to describe the several steps of our algorithm based on this sparseness model before presenting some experimental results and concluding the talk. So I need some hypotheses concerning the blind source separation problem. So the first hypothesis is that our mixing matrix A has full rank. The second hypothesis is that at any time frequency point, the number of sources, of active sources, is strictly less than the number of sensors. That's a crucial hypothesis because without this hypothesis, one step of our algorithm actually fails, and I will pinpoint that. And so, okay, so I can skip this. And so the procedure we propose here is an extension of what was proposed by ISA, LBA, and other authors in 2007, sorry. We begin by computing the short-time Fourier transform of the mixtures in order to get our sparse representation of the noisy mixtures. And then the key point is we estimate the noise standard deviation. We need this estimate because we need this estimate in the next steps. And the key point, the main contribution here, is that we make this estimation via a completely new algorithm, which since it has been published in March 2011, so it's called the MC-ESC. And this algorithm in this paper has been applied to another problem. For instance, this problem was the detection of non-cooperative communication systems in electronic warfare. And this algorithm relies on a theoretical result published in 2008. And I don't want to get you bogged down into the mathematical details concerning this limit theorem or the MCAC itself, but I just want to outline, let's say, the main principles on which the algorithm is based. And for this, I need this random variable. So in this random variable, XK is the short Fourier transform of the signal received at sensor number key. Tau is a threshold, sigma zero is a noise standard deviation, and the limit theorem tells us the following. First, under the weak sparseness model I've presented before, this random variable tends with respect to a very specific and quite intricate convergence criterion to this quantity. When the signal amplitudes are large enough, so when the signal-to-noise ratio is good enough, when the number of pairs TF that are used to compute this random variable is large enough itself, and when the threshold tau is chosen according to the minimum amplitude of our signals, and this is not really a constraint because there are many thresholds that can satisfy the required condition. The second result given by this theorem is that sigma zero is actually the unique positive real number that satisfies this type of convergence. So the MCAC performs as follows. This is an asymptotic result. So we will the MCAC is based on a discrete cost. We try to minimize this discrete cost, and the positive real value that minimizes this cost is considered as a solution of this equation, and that as an estimate of the noise standard deviation. That's it for this rough presentation of this algorithm, because otherwise I will run out of time. So once we have the noise standard deviation, we can reject the time frequency points that correspond to observations due to noise alone, or perhaps to very weak or weak noisy signals. And we perform this rejection by a standard thresholding test that guarantees a specified false alarm probability. Then we estimate the short-term Fourier transform of the sources at the accepted points. And we begin by identifying the active sources. And this is performed by means of a standard noise subspace approach. So briefly, J is a set of vertexes between 1 and M, but we assume that the cardinality of J is strictly less than M. We pick in A, in the mixing matrix A, the columns whose number is in J, and we form matrix A index J. And if J is a set of the source indexes that are actually present at our time frequency point TF, then the projection of the observation onto the noise subspace should be minimized. So we proceed like this to identify the sources at the accepted points. So after identification of the active sources, we denoise the sources by a standard linear filter, where sigma zero is used to adjust the filter. So the estimate here is performed here, used here, and used here as well. And afterwards, we just have to compute the inverse short-time Fourier transform to estimate the sources in the time domain. Okay, so if we compare, if we put in red, so here we put in red the contributions of this work with respect to IUCILB's work in 2007. And I want to emphasize here that in its work, in this work, the noise standard deviation was assumed to be known, so we estimate it. And this estimate is very helpful to reject the time frequency points that are useless for the source separation. And while the paper by IUCILB proposed a method where the rejection was performed by thresholding tests, where the thresholds were manually chosen, empirically chosen, for every signal-to-noise ratio under consideration or of interest. Here we get rid of all these parameters. We replace all these parameters by only one parameter, the false alarm probability, and based on the estimate here. Okay. So with this almost automatic approach based on only one parameter, the false alarm probability, we do not, we expect not performing as well as the original method in 2007, but we do expect to perform quite as well. And in fact, that's true. Here in green, you have the normalized mean square error obtained by using the original algorithm. And in red, you have the results obtained by using our new algorithm. So the results are quite the same, but I repeat, here there is only one parameter, which is the false alarm probability fixed at 10 power minus 3. And so now we have the blue line, and this line is aimed at illustrating the difference between our noise estimator and standard robust estimators. Here we have replaced the MCAC by the MAD estimator. The MAD estimator is with this use of the MAD estimator, you note that there is a significant loss of performance. But that's not surprising, in fact. The MAD estimator is a robust estimator in the sense that when there are only a few outliers in the main core data, the MAD estimator can estimate the noise standard deviation. But here, the outliers are actually signals. And we have seen in the spectrograms that the signal components are quite present. And therefore, the MAD estimator fails in this case. To the contrary, the MCUSC is designed, or is based on a theoretical framework which is aimed at coping with situations where outliers or signals are relatively present. And that's a fact. The MCUSC outperforms the MAD, the trimmed estimators, the Windsor-Rise estimators for the same reason. But in fact, the purpose is slightly different. Okay, now I would like to try to some informal listening. So I don't know whether it works. Let's try. Okay. Well, help! If you can help me, I try again. Ah, yes, I understand. I don't have uploaded the file. Okay, that's the reason. Okay. I've completely forgotten to upload the files. Sorry, I was very very happy with this. Yes, I've then, if you, yes, but it will be difficult for you to find them. So I'm very sorry, I was very happy with this. But okay, too bad. Okay, so I skip this, unfortunately. If people are interested, I can show I can provide the listenings on my laptop later. So I go to the concluding remarks. So I've emphasized the role of sparseness here in the presentation through the use of the MCUSC. I've also emphasized the fact that by using this sparseness model, we have only one parameter to fix. And I also would like to emphasize the fact that this algorithm doesn't take into account any prior knowledge on the exact nature of the sources. We haven't used the fact that the signals are audio ones. We just demand that these signals have a sparse time frequency representation. So this kind of algorithm can be used for other types of signals, for instance, linear FM signals. The perspectives. The MCESC is central in this algorithm, but it has a very very bad drawback, a very important drawback. The MCESC is computationally has a very high computational cost. And a few months ago, we came up with a new algorithm for estimating the noise standard deviation. It's the DATE, for D-dimensional amplitude trimmed estimator. And this algorithm should be published in the coming months because we have submitted the revised version a few weeks ago. The DATE relies on an even more complete theoretical background than the MCESC. It performs as well as the MCESC, and above all, its computational cost is significantly lesser than that of the MCESC. So we are going to use this DATE. Second, we would like to be full automatic, and we would like to get rid of the false alarm probabilities that we fixed at the beginning. And this is possible. We have several ideas for this. But one of the most promising ideas is the fact that the DATE is itself, by construction, an outlier detector, but an outlier detector capable of coping with quite a large proportion of signal components. So I think, speculative, but I think it's possible to perform via the DATE the estimation and the detection at once, at the same time. Now, we have considered the instantaneous case. Now we have to deal with the convolutive mixing case, which is a bit more realistic. I recall that here I've discussed the case where A is known, and I recall that in the paper we tackled the problem where A is unknown. Okay, this concludes my presentation, and I thank you very much for your attention. Ah, yes, there were three mixtures and four sources. So, okay, but too bad. Sorry. Thank you very much again. Thank you.